7, beginning with verse 45. There will be a ton of scripture today, so you're better off to have a pencil ready, mark them down. A lot of them will be up on the board here, but that is our focal passage today. But before we get started, I have an announcement to make that is, it's a very joyous announcement. And that is that about a year ago or so, or a little longer than that, Richard Whitehair was diagnosed with cancer, and they gave him maybe 12 months to live. Well, as of this last week, his cancer is 95% gone, and they have given him at least over 3 years. So continue to pray for Richard. Although they're going to stop the chemo, they're going to give him another dose here next week, the 15th, and then it should end. But so just continue to pray for him because he's still under chemo and that stuff, and it makes you sick. So, yes. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Okay, Seven Sayings from the Cross, week 4. I've entitled this sermon, The Cross of Separation. And over the last few weeks, we have been looking at the last statements of our Savior that he made while he was on the cross. And as we have looked at each of these statements thus far, we can clearly see that each word spoken by our Savior truly reveals his heart. It truly reveals his character in his love towards us. And so this morning we will find the fourth statement in the book of Matthew. So turn there, Matthew 27, starting with verse 45. It reads as this: Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let us pray. Father God, as we come in the reading of your word, we ask that your blessing be upon it. But Father, as we read your word, Father, we not just merely read it, but we would consume it, Father, and that we would digest it, and that we would learn from it more of you. So Father, as your church, we come before you. We ask you to forgive us of our sin. Father, there's nothing that's standing between us. And Father, you know as I stand here, I am in need of your forgiveness. And so, Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I pray that you will let me speak on your behalf. And Father, I pray that if I am not the one, that you would silence my lips and rise up the one to speak for you today. But Father, I pray that this word would not just merely pass through our ears, but Father, that we would heed what they say and we would become doers of the word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we look at Jesus' fourth word from the cross, I feel like I need to set up a stage for you here a little bit. As we well know, Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning, and from 9 o'clock until noon, Jesus hung there on the cross in the middle, in full-on daylight. I mean, it was daylight from 9 to noon. So there he's hanging right there in the daylight. But at noon, at the time when the sun is at its brightest, a miraculous darkness covered the land. And according to the text, it lasted for 3 hours. Now, some liberal writers and some people who try to defute and debunk the Word of God, some liberal writers have suggested that perhaps this darkness was the result of an eclipse. You know, anybody that has doubt about Jesus Christ of God, they're always trying to find a way to debunk the Word of God. So they come out and say that perhaps this was an eclipse, that this darkness came as a result of an eclipse. But listen to me, there is no doubt that the darkness mentioned here in verse 45 was supernatural. Let me explain that. You see, the crucifixion happened during Passover, and the Passover season was always during a full moon. And solar eclipses, which are eclipses that happen in the daytime, only happened during a new moon. Passover was during a full moon. But these eclipses, solar eclipses, only happen during a new moon. When the new moon passes between the sun and the earth, And although a solar eclipse can last up to a couple of hours from start to finish, the amount of time that total darkness is caused from a solar eclipse is only truly a couple of minutes of total darkness. Therefore, this darkness that is mentioned here, this darkness was absolutely not caused from an eclipse and was without a doubt heaven sent. It was supernatural, sent by God himself upon that land. And something else I found very interesting. God sent darkness to the earth once before, prior to this. I don't know if you all remember that. Anybody remember where? It's back in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23. We are told that there were 3 days of total darkness in Egypt before what? The Passover, right? 3 days of total darkness before the Passover. Now, Passover was when God instructed his people to slay a lamb that was without spot or blemish, and the Israelites were to take the blood of that lamb, of the slain lamb, and mark their doorposts with the blood of that lamb. So that when God saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, those who were marked with the blood, God recognized as his own, and then they were spared or passed over for destruction. They were spared from death and destruction. So literally, when they put that on their doorpost, death and destruction passed over them. And each year, the Israelites commemorated the Passover with a festival in which the Israelites remembered God's graciousness to them. It is signified, this is what it signified. It signified freedom and redemption for the Jewish people, kind of like salvation does for us, the blood of Christ does for us, right? It signified freedom and redemption. So isn't it interesting that the first time that God sent darkness was for three entire days before the first Passover? And then now here in our text this morning, God sent 3 hours of total darkness before the Lamb of God was slain. So this morning, as we gaze once again at the cross, I want you to remember what Jesus said before the darkness fell. Remember, before the darkness came, he made some statements there. First, Jesus offered pardon when he said, "Father, forgive them," right? They don't know what they do in Luke chapter 23. And then he gave a promise, and he said to the thief that hung on the cross next to him, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise," also in Luke 23. And then last week we heard Jesus offer provision, and Jesus said to his mother and to his best friend, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Here is your mother," and that was in John chapter 19. But this morning we will see a dramatic shift take place. There's a dramatic shift in what's going to happen, because the first three statements that were made, as I stated, during the light, as he's hanging there before the darkness came, the first three statements during the light that he made, but once the darkness came for 3 hours, Jesus was silent. There's no recorded words of him from the cross when the darkness came. And after the 3 hours, when the darkness left, as soon as the darkness left, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, Jesus' first three statements from the cross were just that. Listen, his first three statements were this, that. They were statements of proclamation. They were statements that were just merely made by our Savior. But Jesus' fourth word from the cross is very different. It was not a statement at all, but instead it is a question. A question that was wrought out by pain. The pain of our Savior, the pain of being forsaken. Listen to me, a spiritual pain. Which leads me to the first point and only point, is the fourth statement from the cross, is this. The darkness of sin separates. The darkness of sin separates. Now, generally, when we think about pain, we think of physical suffering as is caused by injury or illness, or emotional suffering as caused by situations or circumstances, right? And although there is no doubt whatsoever that as Jesus hung on the cross, he was suffering physically, amen? However, I don't believe that a single one of us could truly even get a glimpse of the true physical pain that Jesus was suffering. We see images, we see things, but listen, I think they're cleaned up. Actually, I think they're kind of feminine, actually. But I think the images and things that we are depicted, they're cleaned up. But we can't understand the true physical pain that Jesus suffered. Just think, as nails pierced through his already beaten and battered body. And there is no doubt that he surely suffered emotional pain, as most of those who said they loved him abandoned him. You ever been there? Those who said they loved him abandoned him. Also remember, all of the disciples except for John left him at the cross. They went into hiding. So yes, I believe that Jesus was suffering emotional pain. But the pain that our Savior suffered as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me, was a pain of a different source. Because at this very moment, Jesus was suffering from a pain that hits much, much deeper and hurts much worse than physical or emotional pain. You say, what in the world could that be? At this very moment, during the darkest hours of Jesus' life, for the first time, he suffered the anguish of spiritual pain. Separation from God. That's spiritual pain. The absence of the presence of God. Even as Christians, we sometimes find ourselves there. We do. We something has happened or something's taken place, whatever it is, a sin in our life, but there's something that we look and say, listen, I'm just not experiencing God right now. I'm not feeling God right now. I don't know what has happened. I don't know where he went. Listen, as a pastor, I hear it all of the time. And one thing that we must understand is that Jesus always enjoyed the presence of the Father. Always. Was never without it. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 32, he says, you will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone. My Father is with me. And in John chapter 8, verse 29, he said this, he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. You see, up until this point, Jesus was never alone. Listen, the Father didn't disown him per se, but the presence of God left him. And up to this point, Jesus was never alone. The Father was always with him. Always, all the time. And the reason was because, why? Because Jesus always did those things that pleased the Father. Always. And if you and I always do everything that always pleases the Father, we'll never come to that place that we can't experience God. You see, that was Jesus. Therefore, the Father was always with him. Jesus' total fellowship with the Father was based on Jesus' oneness with the Father's will. But here we hear Jesus cry out, why have you forsaken me? And I want to explain the word forsaken that was used by Jesus in this text right here, means exactly what we think it means. It means this. It means abandoned, deserted, to renounce, or to turn away from. And although I'm not sure that we will be able to fully understand that, listen, I don't get it. I can't tell you that. I can't experience and understand why and how and understand that. But that God abandoned Jesus on the cross for 3 hours. Well, what are the reasons? Well, to find the reasons, listen, this is profound. You have to go to Scripture, right? You have to go look in Scripture. What is the reason for that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul says this. Excuse me. God made him who knew no sin to be sin. I want you to understand. It doesn't say that to know sin. It says to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul writes this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? Sin. What does that do? What does the curse of the law do? It separates us, right, from God, right? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from sin, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So you see, Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. He did for us what no one else could do. Isaiah prophesied about this event in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, when he said this, "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Meaning Jesus was bearing the sin of his people, for his people. John the Baptist spoke about this in John chapter 1, verse 29, when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So in these 3 hours of darkness, the light of the world was extinguished as Jesus took on the sins of the world. He who knew no sin became sin. He who came to bless, right? He who came to bless became a curse. He who was only good, because none of us are good, right? He who was only good had the iniquity of us all placed upon him. All of our bad, and we are all bad. We're all sinners, separated, fall short of the glory of God. He who was only good had the iniquity, the sins of us, of our sins, placed upon him. And at that moment, when the sins of the world were upon him, he cries out, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? You understand, it was at that moment when all the sins of all of humanity, past, present, and future, was heaped upon Christ, and the full cup of God's wrath was poured out. That's the suffering part of sin, is God's wrath. There is no part of God's wrath that I think and feel, there's no part of God's wrath that I believe or feel that could be worse than the absence of the presence of God. But the full cup of God's wrath was poured out and poured upon him. And although Jesus never lost his relationship with the Father, he was still the Son, amen? But he certainly at that moment lost his fellowship with the Father as my sin and your sin was placed upon him. Somehow, in order for our Savior to bear our sin, get this, in order for our Savior to bear our sin, Jesus also had to bear the separation with the Father. Jesus had to suffer the incomparable agony of separation from the fellowship of the Father while sin was being judged. Can you even imagine? God the Father had to turn away from his Son. He could not look upon him, so God sent a darkness upon the earth. At that moment when the sky turned black, the Father could no longer look at what Jesus had become. He became someone that he didn't know. He who knew no sin became sin. It's what you and I caused him to become. You see, the darkness symbolized the darkest day in human history. Because this was the very day when the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ, was being put to death for the sins of men. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Also look at this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust," "that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Jesus became sin, and because of that, the Father could no longer look. You see, the darkness symbolized the darkness of sin. Do you get that? I want you to think about your sin. You know something about sin? Your sin and my sin, anybody's sin? You know what about sin? It demands darkness to carry on its acts. It demands darkness to carry on its act. Listen, remember what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? What did they do? They went to hide it. They went into hiding. That's a symbol of darkness. They went to go hide it. Look, it says, sin demands darkness to carry on its act. Look at what John chapter 3, verse 19, 21 says. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because their what? Their deeds were evil. They were sinful. And because our sin was placed upon Jesus, the fellowship between the Father and the Son was broken. And Jesus cried out, "Why? Why?" Well, the answer can be found in Psalm 22, verse 3. He says, "You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." And in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, "You are of pure eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness." You see, God the Father is holy and cannot look at wickedness. He cannot look at evil. So at that moment, God could not look at Jesus. Why? Because our evil was placed upon him. Our sin was placed upon him. The darkness, the evil of sin, makes the light of God withdraw from us. I want you to get that. The darkness, the evil of sin, makes the light of God withdraw from us. And when the light of God withdraws, so does his presence. My God, my God, why? Another interesting thing is the only place in Scripture where Jesus calls God, God, and not Father. Why did Jesus? Why? Why, God? Why? Well, it's because Jesus became somebody that God didn't know. And Jesus never before, listen, Jesus never before ever had never known what it was like not to be in fellowship with the Father. Never. Do you get that? Because it says, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours?" You see, because of our sin, Jesus became somebody that God could not recognize. Jesus became a mirror of you and me. He became a mirror of you and me and all of those before us and all those after us. The darkness came as a result, not of Jesus' sin, but of our sin being heaped upon him. And where sin is, God cannot be. Why? Because God is holy. What does the word holy mean? He is set apart. What is he set apart from? He's set apart from evil. He's set apart from wickedness. He's set apart from sin. God is holy. And he cannot be a part of sin, so he forsake his son who became sin. So it became dark and God abandoned his son and he broke fellowship with his son. And it was at that moment when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Jesus called out. I want you to think about this. I wrote this in this morning. I want you to think about this. Jesus cried out because God had withdrawn his deliverance from him. I want you to think. I want you to understand something about Jesus. Wherever he did and wherever he went, whatever he did and wherever he went, Jesus was always accustomed to God meeting his needs, but now Jesus was meeting God's need. Whatever Jesus asked for and before, it happened. Got it. There you go. There it is. Whatever he asked for, he got. But listen, Jesus God was always accustomed to meeting Jesus' needs. But not this time. Jesus was meeting God's need. For what? For the sin of men to be paid in full. A price that we couldn't pay. So, Jesus comes and says, "Why have you forsaken me?" I've never been in this position before. Why? Well, I believe that Jesus was asking this question. Where are you? Where are you? Where have you gone? Do you remember the question that God asked of Adam and Eve when he walked through the garden after they sinned? What did he say? Where are you? Where have you gone? Jesus was deserted by the Father, and in our human minds, it is very hard to understand how it can be, but he was forsaken. The scripture says it. Left all alone, deserted on the cross with our sins upon him. Our sins, mine and yours. So understand that the abandonment that Jesus suffered was for our sake. It was for your sake. And now in the darkness of the cross, Jesus truly tasted death for his people, because according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is, and Jesus died on the cross for me, as me. Now understand, true death is to be separated from God eternally. True death is to be separated from God eternally. And let me tell you something, friends, that is hell. That is hell. Jesus suffered hell on the cross for us, and because of us, now listen, I can't emphasize enough, God takes sin very seriously, serious enough that he couldn't even look up on his own son. Yet we look at it so lightly. We take it flippantly. We don't really look at the seriousness of it. We take it light enough that not only do we look up on it, but we take part of it in it and take part in it. And if we were truly being honest, we don't even try to separate ourselves from it very hard. Uh-oh, here he goes. Do you hear me, church? Oftentimes, we don't even try to separate ourselves from sin. And why not? Because if we really believe that sin is a serious matter, a serious enough matter to bring a separation between us and God, then why not? Well, you don't understand, Pastor. Listen, I don't have to understand. You have to understand what God says. But if you knew what my situation was, listen, I don't need to know what your situation was. You need to understand what God's word says. Well, Pastor, God doesn't expect. You know what we're doing? We're not taking sin seriously. We're trying to justify our sin. You understand, when I was drinking, I was just sharing with some people this morning before services started. We had a mutual friend that I knew years and years and years ago. But back when I was drinking, before the time I like to think about now, I could give you every verse in the Bible to support what I was doing. I thought I could justify what I was doing, or at least I had fooled myself into believing that, right? Listen, he turned water into wine, you know, Moses drank, you know, hey, blah, blah, blah. But listen, whether I tried to justify my sin to myself or to someone else, the bottom line is, in the end, I answer to God, and so do you. Don't justify your sin to me. You don't answer to me. In the end, God will judge all the rights and all the wrongs, and he will make all the wrongs right. And listen, whether we are taking part in sin or attempting to justify sin or simply not taking a stand against sin, the fact remains is this: sin is sin. It is sin. It is evil. It is against God. And it separates us from the fellowship of the Father. Do you understand the physical darkness that the earth experienced mirrors the spiritual darkness of the human race? Understand that without Christ, the world would stay in darkness. There's a day coming when he's going to pull his church out, remember? What do you think is going to be left? Without Christ, the world would stay covered in darkness, but an even greater darkness than physical, it would be a spiritual darkness. And Jesus understood that this darkness needed to be conquered. And he was the only one who could do it. Not just for us, but for the Heavenly Father. Do you think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? Do you think he wanted to do that? No. What was the prayer? Somebody tell me what the prayer was in the garden. If you could take it away, Lord God, Father, if you can take this away, there's another way. What God say? No. But understand, while many ignore the spiritual darkness in this world, as God's children, we must not. The question is this: do we feel the anguish in our hearts that Jesus felt when he realized how dark the world really was? Do we get broken to that point like Jesus was? I can understand what you're saying. Stretch it out. Oh. The question is, do we feel the anguish in our hearts that Jesus felt when we realize how dark the world really was? Do we really get to that broken point that we're willing to go to whatever it is to break sin in our lives? Listen to me, church. We must guard our hearts against getting used to this darkness. This is a word for the church. I'm not talking to the world. We must guard our hearts against getting used to this darkness, because listen, if we get used to this darkness, we get used to sin. Listen, once I get in my sin long enough, I can become comfortable in that place. And then that goes into justifying it. Listen, we got to get out of that. We got to guard our hearts from that. We get used to it. What happens when we get used to it? Anybody know what happens when Christians get accustomed to the darkness, get accustomed to sin? Do you know what happens? Yeah, that's one. Anybody take a guess? Backslide? Okay. What? God's not glorified. The church is in the middle of this right now. I'm telling you, the church of today is in the middle of this right now. I asked you all a question last week, I believe it was. I asked you all, how many people did you witness to last week? How many people did you witness to this last month? Do you know what happened when we get accustomed to the darkness? We lose our passion for evangelism. We lose our passion for reaching out to a sinful man. And this is a problem for believers in the church today. This is what it sounds like. Well, that's not my job. That's what we pay the pastor for. That's his job. He's supposed to go out and tell people about Jesus. We pay him good money to do that. Let me ask you something. Do you really believe that? Do you really think that's scriptural? If it is, then I've done a bad job teaching you. It's not, it is part of my job, but my job is to equip you to go do that. You understand, when we get caught up in the darkness and comfortable in the darkness of sin, we lose our passion for evangelism and reaching out to a sinful man, and it becomes a problem. But I want you to get what's going on the cross. I want you to get what's going on the cross. Just as God used Jesus to reach us, Jesus now uses us to reach each other. Do you see that? God used Jesus to reach us, and now Jesus uses us to reach others. Understand, the cross separated Jesus from the Father. However, that same cross unites me to God. It unites you to God. And we who now know and have fellowship and relationship with God, we must tell others of the great news. You know when somebody does that? It's when they're walking in the light. I once heard a story about a newly appointed pastor standing at his study window in the church, weeping as he looked out over the inner city. It was the inner city church, and he's standing in his window. He's looking out over the city, and he's weeping as he looked over at the city's tragic conditions. When a layman came up behind him and sought to console him, the layman said to the pastor, he said, "Look," he says, "don't worry." His layman comes up and says, "Don't worry. After you've been here a little while, you'll get used to it." The minister turned around and responded to the layman. He says, "Yes, I know. That's why I'm crying." Church, folks, we need to become we need not become like the layman. We need to become at the place of where that pastor is that day. Jesus understood that he must die to destroy the darkness that hung over the human race. Do you realize what he has done for you? Do you really truly understand what he's done for you? Do you realize what he has entrusted with us? He's entrusted with us the soul-saving gospel that ends the separation between man and God. Understand, man's greatest problems are not poverty. It's not lack of education, disease, or political oppression. Man's greatest problem is sin. That is man's greatest problem. And that sin puts you in a position to be eternally separated from God in a very dark place called hell. And Jesus can change all of that. You know, sin, it is just a little three-letter word. What was the definition of sin that we heard yesterday? Do you remember that? Did you write that down? You have it in your phone? It was a very good definition. We was at a conference yesterday in Charleston on spousal abuse and sexual abuse, and this was a definition of sin they laid up there. I'm stalling so that she can hurry up and find that in her phone. Don't get anxious. Go ahead. Deviation from the expectation that was laid out by God in the Bible. His mark. Missed the mark. It's just a three-letter word. We like to say it's a mistake, a mishap, I messed up. You've committed treason, is what you did. Just a three-letter word. But I'm really afraid, and I'm honestly speaking from my heart. I'm honestly afraid that the church has gotten immune to it. We have young people watching us, and they think we're a joke. We say we are Christians, but oftentimes sin consumes our lives, and we struggle. We struggle with fellowship with God, and went to that conference yesterday. One out of four women are abused. And here was the kicker. That statistic is the same in the church as it is outside. Let me put that in perspective to you. 200 people here today. Statistically, 50 women. If there was 200 women here, let's say there's 100 women. That'll be easier math for me. If there's 100 women here today, 25 of them are being abused by their husband. That statistic's in the church. Have we gotten immune to it? I mean, that's just what I was fresh in my mind from yesterday. How can we get used to what happened to Jesus that day 2,000 years ago on Calvary? How can we get used to that? How can we become immune, church? If our hearts don't break over the condition of the world, specifically this country, and more importantly, our communities, more importantly, our church, if we're not going to get serious about sin, then you would have to look at that and say it was all for nothing. Jesus died for nothing. God forsook him for nothing. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus died because there was no other way to remove the cause of sin and the curse of sin. It cost Jesus absolutely everything. And the anguish of sin can be heard in Jesus' cry, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? Church, never forget this. The anguish of sin can be heard in Jesus' cry. That's what I just said. The anguish of sin can be heard in Jesus' cry. Do you want to know why? It's because sin is painful. Your own or somebody else's. It all affects you. Your sin affects you. It also affects those around you. Your sin affects me, and my sin affects you. So when it comes to sin, when it comes to sin, it will leave you feeling alone and abandoned. It can also leave those around you feeling alone and abandoned. Why? Sin affects us all. And if we don't see the anguish of sin, watch. If we can't see we don't see the anguish of sin, then we can't appreciate the awe of salvation. He was forsaken so that we would be forgiven. He was deserted so that we could be received. He was abandoned so that we could be reconciled. He was left alone so that we could be adopted. He took the fear and anguish so that we could have peace and joy. He died so that we could be justified. Question is this morning, where are you? Are you in a constant fellowship with the Father, or are there times when you are separated from the Father? Do you feel joined in the Spirit with the Father today? Are you feeling spiritually abandoned today? Do you feel joined with the Spirit of God today? Can you sense the Spirit of God? Listen, if not, maybe it's your sin problem. Or maybe it's someone who's close to you's sin problem. Has a sin problem affected you that is overwhelming you, taking you to a place of darkness? Let me tell you how you can tell. It's when your sight has gone vertical instead of horizontal. Meaning this, have you lost fellowship with God? Maybe you're just feeling overwhelmed by life in general. Amen? And you feel abandoned by the Father. Listen, it is because of Jesus that we never have to feel these feelings ever again. Listen, He is on the cross on Friday, but Sunday's coming. Right? Yes, He was separated from God so that we would never have to be. So this morning, listen, I invite you to this, is bring it to Jesus. Because as a child of God, we have victory in Jesus, right? We have victory in Jesus because, listen, He provided the pardon. Father, forgive them. He provided the promise. This day you will be with me in paradise. He provided the way to take the pain of death away from us, right? He even had the provision with Mary and John. And those of us who truly believe, look, I know you're hungry, but you need to get this. Those of us who truly believe are marked by the Passover blood of Jesus. And we will not experience death as to be eternally separated from God. You ain't saying amen. You may not believe. Wherever you're at, if you are a believer, the Passover blood of Jesus Christ, is on you. You will never experience death as to be eternally separated from God. Amen? So if you don't want an eternal death of being separated from God, then this morning, come to the foot of the cross and ask God to remove whatever is causing spiritual darkness, spiritual pain, whatever the sin is in your life or whatever the sin is around you. Ask God to forgive. Ask God to come and take care of that issue. Ask God to reunite your fellowship with Him. Have I ever had to do that? Many of times. Just like some of you are at right now. God, I feel like I'm out of fellowship with you, and I need. And you think, you don't understand. And I keep telling you, I don't need to understand. Let me tell you one who does. His name's Jesus, as He stood on a cross and says, my God, why hast thou forsaken? He gets it. It's better that He gets it than I do, amen? Come to Him. Bow before Him. Ask Him to work in your spirit. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have never asked Jesus to come into your heart and take control of your life. Then, my friend, for you, listen very carefully. You've never had this experience. Then there's only spiritual darkness. There's only spiritual pain in your future because for you there is no hope but only the promise of hell. Could you imagine having an eternal, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or maybe you prayed the prayer before. Maybe you've said the words, but you've not truly surrendered. Then this morning I ask you to come and ask for the blood of the Lamb to cover you. And for the Spirit of God to fall, to the Spirit of God to fill you and to save you. and ask God to allow death and destruction to pass over you. What am I saying this morning? If you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to accept this morning the pardon that He's offering you, the pardon of death. He's offering you the promise of forgiveness and the provision of a future in heaven with Him. Will you ever not go through a tough time? Nope. Who wants to be honest in here as a Christian, say, I'm going through a tough time? Right? Yeah. See? All over. You might go through a tough time, but you won't go through a time that you've been forsaken. Would you come to Jesus today? Would you come? Maybe you need prayer. You're in that place and you need prayer. Maybe you need to ask Jesus, you come. Listen, you can't get around the cross. You can't do it. You want eternal life? You got to go through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just pray that You will move in a very powerful, mighty way. And Father, that You bless this word. Father, I delivered it to the best of my ability. Father, I just pray that You would take a hold of it. And Father, work in the hearts and the minds of the people, Father. And that those who are dealing with things of darkness, that they will come. Those, maybe they know some loved ones are dealing with things of darkness. They need to intervene on their behalf. Father, those who need to know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You would bring them to Your throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.